that took about 4 or 5 hours. It'll hold me all day. Y'all don't hear me. If I just can get some good that God, that it takes me a while to get, I got it. Y'all eating Macalina's TV dinners, they call them microwave dinners. We used to call them TV dinners back in the day. But we want something from the Lord that's going to hold us down. Some people, I don't go to church. I'm on Facebook. I can get the word. I get off YouTube. You can't get the worship experience. The experience of feeling the presence of God and having God speak directly to you in a timely manner, it's so powerful that it'll make you become an addict to it. You know, you can tell a person who you know, when if they use drugs or alcohol, you can tell, because they ain't gonna just give it up after they use it. They're gonna try it again. Or else they really didn't inhale. We got some people that come here to try to get high of the Holy Spirit, and they don't really inhale. Y'all with me here? I'm trying to get to where you can understand it.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Take the Word of the Lord with you and turn to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15. St. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 12, recorded are these words. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Yeah. The focus of our thought today comes from verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I want to talk about love beyond compare. Love beyond compare. Jesus is talking about the relationship to other believers. And he says, first of all, in verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, this is so important to the body of Christ because, again, Jesus is recorded as having said that the only way that men will know that ye are my disciples is if you have love one to another, one toward another, one for another. And it is this love that we operate out of that signifies to the world that we're different, that we're peculiar, that we are unlike the world. Jesus has referred to this love issue saying, what difference is your love if you love folk who love you? Even the world do this. But what really distinguishes your love from the world's love is when you love out of the love that you have been shown. Love for you ain't got to love some things about folk, but you got to love the folk. You don't have to love their attitudes, their actions, their ambitions, and their activities, but you do have to love the person. And Jesus has demonstrated this not only in his earthly walk, in his own ministry, but even in Scripture, and he has made that clear. He has already said, listen, we can't, in Romans chapter 12, he begins to unfold this issue of love as well, dealing with the believers, how we ought to act and interact one with another. He's made it clear that we can't do back to others what others do back to us. We can't talk back to others like others talk back to us. We can't handle others like others handle us, because that would not be a true representation, nor would that be a true demonstration of the love that has been shown to us. Now look at this, because this is a word that the church needs to hear over and 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 over again until we get it right. How many will be honest enough and say, the Lord is still working on me? He's still teaching me how to love his kind of love. And the more he demonstrates my unworthiness and his love, yet in spite of my unworthiness, then it is that same love that I am to operate out of again to my brother and to my sister. Now look again, because he says, this is my command. This is not a serious sacred suggestion. It's not even a helpful holy hint. This is a clear-cut command. Y'all not hearing me here today. It's not an option. You can't opt out of loving folk because they're unlovely and unlovable. You've not loved them because they've reciprocated the love back to. No, that's not the basis for your operation. You are loving them because you're commanded to love them. I mean, some folk you got to look at and say, you know, I love you because God said I got to love you. Matter of fact, he knew if he wouldn't have commanded me to love you. I checked you off the list. You one I ain't loving. But it is a command. Listen at this now. Listen, because this sets the stage for what follows. If you understand that it's not an option, tell your neighbor it's not an option to love. It's an obligation. All right, listen at this. Because it's an obligation now, I don't even have to think that I've got any other option. This is what God has commanded me through his son, Jesus Christ. Because in the third chapter, 16 verse, it says, he loved this world so much that he gave his son. Now his son is giving to us a commandment that we love one another. And look at what he says, as I have loved you, with the same intensity, on the same level, and out of the same arena shall you love one another. So when you get to that point where you feel like you don't want love one another, he says, remember as I have loved you. Verse 13 now, because here's where he talks about love beyond compare. Greater love hath no man than this. Look at him putting this love on a pedestal that cannot be compared to any other. Greater love hath no man than this. What, Jesus? That a man lay down his life for his friends. So the first thing that you begin to look at about this greater love, this love that's beyond compare, is the fact that when you have this agape love, you become one sensitive to those who are around you. It means then that you seek their greater good before your own. When you look at this and see how sensitive Jesus had become and how Jesus himself demonstrated this greater love and says to us that we ought to do, there are three things that we see that is not a part of this greater love. One is selfishness. Greater love is not a selfish love. Not only is it not a selfish love, but you'll see from what Jesus has declared here, it is not a self-centered love. It is not everything gravitating to me, but rather me to it. It is not a self-serving love, because Jesus, through this greater love, seeks not to be served, but rather to serve. He made it clear, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. This love recognizes that there are needs and there are obviously some areas and some arenas where others who do not possess the kind of love, that agape love, that ability to love beyond and to love in spite of, like Jesus has, and those people to whom he has given this love to, has the capacity and the ability to love in a way that is unselfish. It is self-centered. It is not focused upon its own self and being self-serving. It is a love that seeks to be greater than that would be given unto them. It is a love that seeks to be lifting others up rather than to be lifted up by others. It is a love that reaches into where folk are and pulls them up and out of their circumstances and situations. It is a love that does not get glory many times in the good that it does, but it's not looking for its own glory. It's trying to help others out of their gloom. And so when you understand this kind of love, you'll see that it is a sensitive love, because when you have this kind of love, God makes you sensitive to others. You can see folk hurting with a smile on their face when you're sensitive enough to the spirit, because you're not stopping at the flesh, but you're going underneath the skin. You will determine and detect some things underneath the skin with the spirit guiding you that you could not in the flesh. And that's why we're not called to love with a fleshly love when it relates to loving one another, because we would stop many times at what we see, at what we hear, and what we feel. It's got to be deeper than that. This kind of love has to be deeper than that kind of surface love that the world loves with. Now, I want to ask a question today. Are you glad God loved you with a greater love than surface love? Well, then, if you're grateful that God loved you with a love greater than surface love, then he wants you to be so grateful that you also will love others with a love greater than surface love. No, don't love me just when I'm right, because you won't love me all the time. But don't love me just when I do things that please you, because you won't love me all the time. Don't do things that you are happy with and those things that serve you, because you will not be loving me all the time. But if you love me with the love of God in spite of me, you'll still love me when you discover all of my faults and my shortcomings, my weaknesses and my imperfections. None of that will hamper or hinder your love, because you're not loving on the surface. You are loving underneath the skin. And too many of us do not love with the love that God has given to us. Notice he says, as. Go back into chapter verse 12, and it says, as I have loved you. So this love that's beyond compare is a sensitive love. But not only is it a sensitive love, you're going to discover that it is a sufficient love. A sufficient love. You see, you can't love with an insufficient love or source. So in order to love the love that Jesus is talking about, this agape love, this kind of godly love, then it's going to have a sufficient source. Because literally, you are not loving with your love. You are loving with the love that comes through you. It has been demonstrated to you, and it is for the purpose of going through you as an extension of you to whomever else God has brought opportunity for you to share that love with and upon. Since it is not your source, but rather the divine source, that source never runs out. Mine does. That source doesn't have a limit on it. Mine does. That source is not prejudiced to what I like or dislike. Mine is. And so he would not trust me to love my brother or my sister with my love. So he gave me a love that was pure and rich and ever flowing through me so that I could love them with that same love that's been extended to me. Amen. And that love, my brother and my sister, is a love that's everlasting, unchanging, and that is able and sufficient to look beyond faults and still meet needs. It's sufficient. Say God's love is sufficient. And it's not only sufficient for my insufficiency, because what he himself has based his love on is not me, but rather himself. And so then I am able to, even in my insufficient state, with my insufficient love, love sufficiently, with the sufficiency of his love and source. So listen at this, because I want you to see something else. It's sufficient because it is adequate. Matter of fact, it's above adequate. But adequate in the sense that it is able and capable of being able to save those who will accept that he extends to them as salvation because of and through the love that he has for all mankind. Jesus has made clear in the Word of God that God would that no man perish. That he has come to seek and to save that which were lost. Now, look at his role as opposed to the Pharisee, the most religious sect in Jesus' time. Those who thought they were most religious and most righteous in and of themselves. They lived by the letter of the law, by the standard, not just that God had set, but that they had imposed. And if you really want to know the truth, superimposed upon the law of God. And they then thought that they were holy by the laws that they tried to live by, but were unable to fulfill. And Jesus dealt with sinners in a sense of sufficient love, great enough to be able to handle all of their insufficiencies because of his sufficiency and not look down upon them because of their deficiencies. And yet the Pharisees, who were deficient of the love, tried to act out of a law they thought was sufficient enough to bring the love. And when they discovered, as by the word of God, that the law could not save them but rather condemn them, the only saving was in that of the grace of God through his son Jesus Christ. Jesus made clear, it's not the well that needs the physician, but the sick. Those of you who think you've got it going on, don't need no help. You are righteous and holy in yourself. You don't need me. Give me the wino. Give me the backstabber. Give me the liar. Give me the gambler. Give me the whoremonger. Give me all of those who know they're messed up and need some help, and I'll be the one who will show love to them who you refuse to love. They got upset with Jesus because he wouldn't go to the muck-de-muck's house, to the high-up's house, to those who were in position house. He didn't go have dinner with those who thought they were holier than thou. Jesus said, you don't need me. I need to go to some sinners' houses. I need to go by some folks' house who ain't got no Bible sitting on the side.
of the bedstand. I need to go by some folk house who don't have no statues and no pictures of me on the wall. I need to go by some folk house that they're going to have to turn off some Luther and some, y'all not hearing me. They're going to have to put away some books that ain't holy. They're going to have to do some stuff. Listen, that shows that they need help. I need to go by the hurting's house. I don't need to go by those who think that, again, they have no need of me, but they want to show off to me and want to pretend before me and perform. I ain't got time for that. There's some folk on their way to hell. I need to stop by their house. His love was adequate enough to go into the sinner's house, listen at this, and not be changed by the sinner, but change the sinner. See, something's wrong with your love when you can't go to the ballroom without having a drink. Something's wrong when you can't go to the crack house without being cracked. Something's wrong when you can't stop to the prostitute and she be changed by you rather than you being changed by, y'all not hearing me. His love was sufficient enough to reach down to the furthest point and pick up from the lowest degree and elevate them to a place that God himself would be pleased with. So his love was sufficient and it was adequate. But listen at this, not only was it adequate, but as I demonstrated and as scripture demonstrates, it is accommodative that a man lay down his life. In other words, when the need is presented, this love is accommodative. It is a love that will say, listen, what you can't handle, I can. Where you are weak, I am strong. Where you are wrong, I am right. Where you are down, I am. It's an accommodative love to bring together and to fill in the gap and to bring that God desires with that man needs. Bridge the gap between the two. It is an accommodative love. But then not only that, it is an anointed love. It's an anointed love. It is a love that has been given and demonstrated to him by his Father and through him and the anointing of the divine that is upon his love. It is also distributed in an anointed way. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, yes, will draw all men. Yes, Lord. What do you think is drawing all men? It is the anointing of his love. Yes. You see, the devil knows if he can keep Jesus from being lifted up, where he can really be. See, folk are looking for something, but they don't know what they're looking for. They got an itch they can't scratch. And I don't know if you've had an itch that you can't scratch, but it's an annoying situation when it's there and you can't reach it and you try everything you can. But oh, if you just lift Jesus up, he can reach what you cannot reach. His love draws us because of his anointing. That's why if the devil knows that he can keep Jesus from being lifted up, then he can keep men from seeing their hope and for seeing their help and for getting relief from their hurt. Jesus. He is the one who is anointed to be able to bring to man what man cannot and would not in any other arena be able to have without Jesus. Yeah. One of the things that I love about his anointing is, again, that he, again, is no respecter of persons. I mean, that's a real pure and precious kind of love. It is an anointing so great that he does not limit his love to whoever desires to accept that love. He says, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are, come on. Yes. Yes. Now look at this, and last thing I'm going to tell you about it. Not only was his love sensitive, and this greater love sensitive, and not only was this love and Jesus' love sufficient, but the last thing I want to tell you about it, and I know you already know it, but I've got to say it for someone who doesn't, is it's sacrificial. Sacrificial. And sacrificial love is the greatest kind of love. Because it is the kind of love that extends itself without fear of being rejected. Sacrificial love. Let me help you understand. Jesus has already been extended to the world before the world was ever begun. Listen to this. Even before the foundations of the world, he was a lamb slain already. Before Adam ever sinned, fell short, ever made the first mistake, God already had provisions for and sacrificed his son. It was already done in the supernatural and all the spiritual realm. It was just waiting to be manifested in the natural realm. And Paul says, in the fullness of time, that God had done before time became manifested in time. And see, a real sacrifice doesn't wait for folk to say, give me, help me, I need you. Real sacrificial love is there before folk even know they need it. You ever saw somebody who was sensitive enough and who was sufficient enough and saw your need, and before you ever could even ask for it, they had their hand already extended out? That's how sacrificial his love. Jeremiah put it this way, before you even call, he's already answered you. That's a sacrificial. It's not waiting for your praise and glory before it does what it has to do. It does what it has to do and then allow you to say thank you. But his love is so sacrificial, I want you to get this, and it'll revolutionize your life. If you understood how sacrificial his love is, not only was at Calvary, but he is now, according to Hebrews 7:25, the word says, he ever liveth to make intercession for you. He's already on top of your situation before your situation gets on top of you. When you understand that he's taking care of your business even while it looks like it is not yet finished or fixed, when you understand what he's doing for him, you will start learning how to say thank you in advance. Lord, I don't see the answer, but you know what? I know you've already got the answer. You fixed the answer before I ever got here. You saw the problem, took care of the problem, because you were sufficient and sacrificial, so much so that the problem is going to be eliminated because you have a sacrificial love that took care of it even before I came on the scene. The devil knows that. The only problem is the saints don't know it.
It's all right.
And when you understand again how sacrificial this love is, it'll make you appreciative. It'll make you release praise and glory to him. But it'll make you become an extension of him to be a conduit to whosoever. You'll start telling him, if he could save me, if he could pick me up, if he could turn me around, if he could wash my mind and wash my mouth and wash my ears and wash my eyes, if he could wash my hands and then wash my, if he could clean me up. I'm trying to tell you, there's some hope for you. I once was lost. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But now I'm fine. You know, I was blind, but thank God I see. I was dead, and yet I am alive, and it's all because of his sacrificial love. If God's done anything for you worthy of his praise today, why don't you give him glory? The doors of the church are open. Why don't you give him glory today? Our time is far spent. Our time is far spent. The doors of the church are open.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard.